go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we will explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to the renewal of the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
And our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, families, as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. If you're joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you and just catch you up a little bit. We're in the midst of a series that we believe is critical to the rebuilding and renewal of the American Catholic Church. And we're coming to the end of a wonderful series as we've been following St. Paul and the central place that he played in establishing the first century church.
Yes, Leslie, we are coming to the last phase of this series. Our series has been called The Call to Return to Biblical Christianity. And we've been on an exciting journey into the Acts of the Apostles, where we are rediscovering the characteristics that made those early Christians such a powerful force. We're pulling together the scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teachings of the church, and we're being challenged on how we too can start to live as those early Christians did.
It's been a really challenging series, Peter, and I've learned a lot. Now, where we are today is St. Paul has been on his third missionary journey, and this is in the years 53 AD to 58 AD, and we learn that at the end of St. Paul's third missionary journey, he arrived in Jerusalem. He'd been warned by the prophet Agabus that the Jews in Jerusalem would bind him and hand him over to the Gentiles. But St. Paul's response to this warning was this: "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned and die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus Christ."
What an attitude, right, Leslie?
Right. He was truly a great, great saint.
Right. He arrived in Jerusalem then, and there he was arrested as a violent crowd was trying to kill him. A Roman tribune came with the soldiers, and the crowd stopped beating Paul. As he headed toward the Roman barracks, he asked to address the crowd, and then Paul shares his conversion story. And as we've been learning, Paul's conversion story is a major sub-theme in the Acts of the Apostles. St. Paul's conversion, of course, happened and is recorded in Acts chapter 9, and the date was 32 AD. Here he arrives in Jerusalem in 58 AD, and here are two times he shared his conversion story, completely different context for both sharings.
But he's still sharing his conversion story.
Yeah, 26 years later, it's still important in his ministry. His conversion story came to be the major lead-in to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, the Paschal mystery, as we like to say.
So last week, we wanted to give the why of how a powerful conversion story is not only for St. Paul, but it's also for us as 21st century Catholic believers.
Mm-hmm.
St. Paul, we learned, is our model for demonstrating the power in telling our own conversion stories. And the church actually tells us this because Paul's conversion is a feast day. Isn't that right, Peter?
Yeah, that's right. The feast calls all of us to know our conversion story as well, I believe, Leslie.
Right. It's on the 25th of January. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So in Acts chapter 9, fast forwarding to Acts chapter 9, we see that there is a powerful section of sacred scripture, The Holy Spirit, through St. Luke, recounts the details of what happened on the road to Damascus. And then following that, there are two additional recorded instances where Paul tells his conversion story. The first instance is in Acts 22, when Paul defends his ministry when he is arrested in Jerusalem. And the second is when he tells his story to King Agrippa in Acts 26.
Right. So as we step back, what do we learn from this? Depending on the purpose of telling the story and the audience that will hear it, St. Paul chose to emphasize different aspects of his conversion story. And as we imitate St. Paul, which we're called to do, we too can discover the power in telling our own stories on how Jesus has worked in our lives. For instance, in the account that you mentioned in chapter 9, Luke's purpose was to tell the story to the early church and to emphasize how the chief of sinners, St. Paul, could be converted in his powerful encounter with the living Christ.
So if Paul's our model, let's reflect on our own conversion stories and think about a time when we've encountered the living Christ. We heard his voice, and after that, our lives took a brand new direction.
And we always like to think of our patron for our lay apostolate in this radio show, St. Francis of Assisi, who heard the voice of God in his conversion at San Damiano.
And it completely changed the direction of his life.
Amen.
Okay, so on to chapter 22, Peter. What happens there?
Okay, there, the account emphasizes Paul's Jewish roots and his faithfulness to the law as he referred to the God of our fathers. He mistakenly thought that he was doing all the right things as a devout Jew as he speaks to these Jews, and now he yearned for the Jewish accusers to see that Jesus was truly the Messiah.
Well, similar to St. Paul, in my own upbringing, I was in a devout Catholic family. So reflecting on my own upbringing or your own upbringing, how were you raised? Were you faithfully attending church, receiving the sacraments, but did you discover that that wasn't all the Lord had for you? And he wanted to turn the lights on, so to speak, and ignite your faith anew.
Right, and we're really seeing that conversion stories really help cradle Catholics will benefit from hearing others' conversion stories to make them reflect on conversion.
Okay, so now we're with King Agrippa in chapter 26.
Yes, Paul's conversion story told to King Agrippa is in a small, private, and less hostile audience, right? The conversion story was different. He added details about his encounter on the road, including, it's hard to kick against the goads. In that account, Jesus told Paul that he was chosen by God and that he would bring the gospel to the Gentiles in great detail.
So think about, was there a time in your life when you were kicking against the goads? I know there were times in my life that I was, just like Paul.
Yeah.
And I was resisting God's will for my life and needed to make a change.
Yeah, and also in my own story, I drifted from my Catholic upbringing and went through a period of time where I was kicking against the goads, but the Lord was faithful and came out and got me, Leslie.
So, Peter, why is it so important to tell your conversion story? I know we've been talking a lot about this, but it truly is important.
So this is why I believe it is. Our conversion experience cannot be questioned. It is more powerful than another's doubt or unbelief, and it carries with it, Leslie, the evidence of the grace of God and our changed lives.
Okay, listeners, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we'll be sharing a tool that will help you discover and begin to tell your own conversion story.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Catholic Radio Indy has a new look. It's our website. Yes, we have a new website that makes everything about Catholic Radio Indy easier. It's clean, straightforward, and simple to use. You can listen to us live, see our schedule, and our map. You can even silence your phone and take it right into Mass to follow the daily readings. And don't forget, you can get all of our programming through the podcast tab. This makes everything so much easier. So just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and check us out.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. In this series, we've been exploring the call to return to biblical Christianity, and we've been learning why the early Christians were described as those who have turned the world upside down. As we've been learning, Paul's conversion story was a centerpiece of his ministry and a major sub-theme in the Acts of the Apostles. Paul uses his conversion story to open up a door for sharing the gospel. Peter, today we want to give our audience a clear yet simple way to discover their own conversion story. Going through this process will cause us to see times that the Lord has intervened in our lives and how God is calling each of us to conversion and ongoing conversion.
Thank you, Liz. I'm really excited about this tool that we get to share on our program today. This journey will take us through today what's called Discover Your Story. This is adopted from a larger piece by Father Frank Desanio and Father Kenneth Boyock. And I've received permission from the priest to use this tool everywhere I go. I've used it previously in several settings, including seminars that I've done in Catholic parishes, and I also used it in a gathering focused on missionary discipleship in the Diocese of Lafayette. And I've found that those who work their way through this process have given it a 2 thumbs up. So, Lord Leslie, I would like to lead you through this process today, and here as I do, please begin to reflect on everyone's journey that's listening today. The end result will be a deeper appreciation for your own conversion story, as well as the opportunity to begin to use your story like St. Paul was in the Acts of the Apostles.
Okay, Peter, I'm ready.
Okay, so this is a private reflection. And as we go through it, we take our time as we go through this process, and it's encouraged in this Discover Your Story that this activity can provoke prayer and deep self-reflection regarding your relationship to the Lord. So it's kind of like a devotion as you go through it.
And it does require you to set aside some time. About how long does it take, Peter?
Oh, I would say to give it an hour.
If not longer.
And even you can take your time and do it over a couple days. Okay? So, Leslie, let's begin with this. This is going to be a reflection on life's meaning. Okay? And I would like to read this introduction. And it goes like this, Leslie. Maybe you have spent some significant time reflecting on your life's purpose and know exactly what life is all about. But perhaps you've never considered the question of life's meaning. There was an interview done on the streets of Baltimore, Maryland, and the question was, what is the meaning of life to you? And these were a couple of the questions, Leslie, as you think about this. What is life's meaning? One person said, I kind of gauge it as finding peace within myself. Another one said, living these days being a responsible human being. Another one said, the purpose of mankind is to get closer to God. One said, it's having fun. Go out and do bad things, do good things, but live your life. Try doing anything you want to. And then another one said, the meaning of life is doing what the Lord asks us to do. Now, which of those answers most resonates with you? Or, Leslie, do you have a different answer altogether?
Well, when I thought about this question, for me, the meaning of life is to fulfill God's purpose for my life and to use my gifts and talents in such a way as to somehow make a difference in people's lives for good.
Good. So, based on that question, the next one is, what about Jesus? Who is Jesus to you right now? And in this discovery, there's several aspects and names for Jesus. How about you? How do you respond to that?
Well, first and foremost, when I did this reflection, I circled that Jesus is God's son. I think that's so important that we come to a realization that he is God's son. And also that he's our savior. So I circled savior. And then for me, one of the things that has really been such a blessing to me is that he is my teacher and guide. He shows me the path of life, and he journeys with me as a loving friend. He's right there by my side.
Very, very nice. How about, are there any other terms or labels that you'd use to describe Jesus as you reflected on this?
Well, I think all of us have different ways of describing Jesus depending upon our personal encounters and relationship with him. But at times, he's been my rock of refuge where I've run to him for safety. And he's been a comforter to me in times when I've been going through grief. Mm-hmm. And also a counselor and Prince of Peace. In my life.
I think this is a real important question that this we come to, how would you describe the role Jesus currently plays in your life?
Well, this was one of the big questions in this Discover Your Story exercise.
Yes.
What is the role? It's a very important question for everyone to consider. What is the role that Jesus plays in your life? And here is what I said. I said, Jesus is first and foremost the Lord of my life. And I think this goes back to him being my king. He's the Lord of my life. Because there was a time in my life when I was the center of my life. I was living my life for me, and I held the reins of my life. And then when I finally accepted his work on the cross for me, that he died for my sins, that I was a sinner, I turned my life over to him, and he became my Lord and Savior, the Lord of my life.
The next part now, we want to discuss and express life experiences. Think back over your life. What important sacramental, religious, or spiritual moments do you remember in your journey? Simply identify those moments in your spiritual journey that spring to mind, the ones that stand out to you as significant. And it's helpful to mark the time of life these experiences took place, if you can do that too.
Kind of like a timeline, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, starting with my upbringing, of course, receiving the sacraments were significant spiritual events in my life. But one of the things that I marked on my timeline that was most memorable was when I was in high school and I went on a Young Life retreat. And I asked Jesus at that time to come into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real milestone in my life because I do believe he entered my life in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Then secondly, one of the most significant experiences in my life was my sophomore year of college when in my dorm room, I had an encounter with the living Christ. And this is where I envisioned him on the cross. I realized that he died for my sins and that I was a sinner. I was in need of his forgiveness. And at that time, like I said, I turned the reins of my life over to him.
Right.
So, of course, later on, getting married and finding my life's partner, you, Peter, was so very significant. But within that very short time frame of our the first 2 years of our marriage, we lost our firstborn daughter. And that was a real pivotal event in my life because it was a deep time of grief, questioning the Lord, maybe not trusting him. And my faith was being tested. And I was asking, where were you, Lord? But then I discovered during that time that he was right by my side during that entire time and that he was going to work all things together for good.
And just as an amazing thing, as we look back, Leslie, in the midst of that being a part of your conversion story, the Lord used you to minister to a lot of women that have suffered loss in childbearing.
And then, of course, the joy and fulfillment, a desire fulfilled as a tree of life when I gave birth to my four children. And then lastly, the death of my parents. This really impacted my faith too, because I found myself wondering, will I really see them again in eternity? Are Jesus's promises of eternal life true? That's some of my main highlights. Lots more, but some of my main highlights.
Right. And as we pointed out last week, both Jesus and the Gospels and the Catechism make it clear that conversion is the first step that we all must take in order to enter the kingdom of God. And rather than being a sidebar in our spiritual journey, conversion shows itself to be the very foundation of a heart that is set toward the Lord. We're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we will continue to discuss how we can process our story and become conversion tellers like St. Paul.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Anytime you get in the car, turn on the radio, you know that there's going to be something encouraging.
The right words come on, and you know that that's a word from God. God is really listening to you. He hears you.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're continuing our series, The Call to Rebuild the Church, here in America through the restoration of biblical Christianity. In our last segment, we discussed aspects of our life that signify the Lord reaching out to us and our responses to Him. We are seeing that, as in Leslie's life, that true conversion creates changed lives in the people of God. Jesus presents conversion as a first step in the entrance to the kingdom of God. And as we continue, please put yourself into these questions yourself, where you too can discover and build your own conversion story. Now, we want to think about some of the great changes in our lives as we go into this next section. And we want to look back on our lives and identify that great change. It could have been in your childhood, in your teens, or your adult life. It might have been something family, career, or a number of other things. Think about what life was like before that change and after that change.
Well, this part of the self-reflection was a hard one because there's been several pivotal moments in my life where I've experienced a great change. But my greatest change, I had to say, was clearly the one that I had in college, because this set the course for my entire life. And it's when I gave my life completely over to Jesus and made a commitment to follow Him for the rest of my life. So that would be my greatest change, Peter.
So the next part, Leslie, would be, how do you perceive yourself before the change?
Well, that was pretty easy. Before the change, I was lost. I was insecure. I didn't know who I was. I was trying to fill the emptiness of my life with friends and partying and just all kinds of other things. So I'd say I was lost. That's how I would describe myself. A lost sheep.
Then the next aspect would be, how did you perceive yourself after this change?
Well, I still remember it. After I committed my life to Christ, I really was, like the scripture says, a new creation. I literally felt, quote unquote, born again. Mm-hmm. And I began to have a sense of who God meant me to be and that He had a plan for my life. So it was, I felt cleaned up and born again.
Right. And Leslie, what was the role of your faith during that change?
Well, before the change, I had stopped practicing my faith completely. I wasn't going to Mass. It just was not a part of my life. And once I experienced that change, my faith now became the center of my life. It was my first priority. I began to go to church, read the scriptures, pray. It became my number one priority.
And then also, then, who helped you most during that change?
I think this is really important for everyone to hear this, because we are not supposed to be on our journey alone. And because I was part of a Christian community at that time, I really feel that that helped me to really walk out my faith. I had Christian roommates and I had Christian friends, and I was in a place where my faith could be nurtured and grow.
Mm-hmm. So, Leslie, in this map that we're going through, there's a great quote by Pope Benedict XVI, and he said this: "We are therefore spirit, soul, and body. We are part of this world, tied to the possibilities of our material condition, while at the same time we are open to an infinite horizon, able to converse with God and welcome Him with us." Now, think about that for a moment, okay? Do you believe this? Have you ever thought about these things?
Well, I think what Pope Benedict's trying to say is that, in saying we can converse with God as we welcome Him, I think he's saying that we all have the opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So I do believe this with all my heart, and I have experienced this personally. I converse with Him at Mass, and I welcome Him into my heart during Most Holy Communion. Also, in my personal devotions, I try to converse with Him and have a quiet time and each day pray. And one of the things that have gotten me through life is, like it says in the scriptures, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And I try to practice that every day because I know He cares for me. And throughout my life, Jesus has met me at every turn. He's been my help and strength.
Amen to that. So now we come to the end of this process that we've been going through today, and we take a few minutes to meditate on the experience, Leslie, that you had of walking through Discover Your Story. In general, Leslie, what did you experience as you went through this process that we're encouraging and offering to our listeners?
Well, as I walked through the process, I was really able to see how there was ongoing conversion happening in my life
Yes.
as part of my spiritual
Yeah,
journey.
That's very good.
And I was able to see how Jesus was there at each juncture in my life and how he was giving me grace to get me through each of these tests and help me to grow closer to him.
Were there any sections in this process that were more difficult to answer than others?
Well, I think we kind of zoomed through it today, but when I was actually doing this the first time, I think all the questions were difficult because I had to really stop and self-reflect and take time to think deeply about my life. And sometimes we don't take time to think deeply about our lives.
Yeah, exactly. And are there more questions or concerns that you would have that this reflection revealed to you?
Not really, no. I think it was pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, and then finally, how did you use this tool to prepare your conversion story?
Well, I think it's pretty easy because you just look at those pivotal events of your life and you see where you encountered Jesus and how he extended his grace to you. So a result of this reflection, I was able to put together my conversion story and express those parts of it mm-hmm. to others that are most important when I'm sharing my life with others.
So for our listeners today, Leslie, we want to say that you can access this material by going to our website at www.CatholicDiscipleshipMinistries.org, and this will be linked to today's broadcast and podcast.
And Peter, who do you think can use this tool or benefit from this tool?
Oh, I think no matter where you are on your journey, a cradle Catholic or someone who's new to the faith, this will help us to begin to carry our conversion story, not unlike St. Paul did in the Acts of the Apostles.
So, Peter, will you pray for us now?
Yes, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and how he changes our life, how he calls us to conversion, and how he calls us to conversion on an ongoing basis, and finally, to share that conversion story with others. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and open up doors for our conversion story. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect individuals, families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. To hear our past programs, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, and you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the webpage. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.CatholicRadioIndy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.